Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson two in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled Having Dominion. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
To God be the glory. Amen. I thought I'd start this. This is a very, very serious teaching. I'm going to start it off with puppies. I'm going to ease you in. And it's a, if I have a little bit of a thought pattern for today's teaching, it's having a type of a dominion. And I gave a teaching 3 weeks or four ago on the third side. I don't know if any of y'all heard that. It's online as of 3 or 4 weeks ago. This is kind of a continuation of the third side of that biblical truth that we need to keep foremost in our thinking and how we are to stay on the path of the truth of God's counsel. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
It's God's counsel that this earth needs this day. And it's when we come against his counsel that we find nothing but problems. And so today I am going to, I feel led of the Lord to bring this truth to you. And I'll need you to work with me somewhat. There'll be some things that'll hurt our feelings a little bit, perhaps. But there'll also be some things that should expand our understanding. And the goal is, as our understanding is expanded, that when we leave this place, that we have affected our things of the kingdom in a greater way. Now, you are bigger than you think you are. Don't take that the wrong way. I just heard what I said. You are bigger than you think you are. In Christ Jesus, there's a lot of things that are possible. That promise is so big, we cannot even wrap our arms around it, much less our minds and our spirits. But what if I suggested to you this morning that's true? That is very true. Now, there's somewhat of a, I would like for us to consider expanding our connections between prayer and changing the earth. I don't know of a time that I've known of that there's probably more prayer went up from the planet than the last 12 months. It would seem to some that it hadn't done much good. It would seem to others it's got a religious spirit that they're faithful to it, but it's more of a religious reason than it is a heartfelt reason. But with all of the prayer that's went up, we have to think, God, what is our prayer doing? With the teaching that I did on the third side, and I'll get into it a little bit here in a moment, I want us to start make a distinction and a connection of wanting to expand our prayer life with the reality of changing the earth. I am not satisfied with the connection that I'm seeing in my own personal life. I'm pretty faithful in prayer, but I have this deep yearning, and it's not a demonstration of being disappointed in myself. I just know that there's more in the spirit to discover about the earth changing because the church is here.
Amen.
Can anybody feel my pain? And so it is with this in mind, I want us to keep in mind as we're learning prayer, changing the earth. I'm going to read you this little story. And what happens in this little story is things of God, prayer, changing the earth, usually doesn't happen like we think. Has anybody noticed? So don't think something's not happening just because it's not happening like you think. Now let me read you this little story, if you'll bear with me. It won't take but a couple minutes. A shop owner placed a sign above his door that said, "Puppies for sale." Signs like this always have a way of attracting young children, and to no surprise, a boy saw the sign and approached the owner. "How much are you going to sell the puppies for?" he asked. The store owner replied, "Anywhere from $30 to $50. Well, the little boy pulled out some change from his pocket. He said, "I have $2.37. He said, "Can I please look at them?" The shop owner smiled and whistled. Out of the kennel came Lady, who ran down the aisle of his shop, followed by five teeny tiny balls of fur. One puppy was lagging considerably behind. Immediately, the little boy singled out the lagging, limping puppy and said, "What's wrong with that little dog?" The shop owner explained that the veterinarian had examined the little puppy and had discovered it didn't have a hip socket. It would always limp. It would always be lame. The little boy became excited. "That is the puppy that I want to buy." The shop owner said, "No, you don't want to buy." He said, "No, you don't want to buy that little dog. If you really want him, I'll just give him to you." The little boy got quite upset. He looked straight into the store owner's eyes, pointing his finger, and said, "Don't want you to give him to me. That little dog is worth every bit as much as all the other dogs. And I'll pay full price. In fact, I'll give you $2.37 now and 50 cents a month until I have him paid for." The shop owner countered, "You really don't want to buy this little dog. He is never going to be able to run and jump and play with you like the other puppies." To his surprise, the little boy reached down, rolled up his pant leg to reveal a badly twisted, crippled left leg supported by a big metal brace. He looked up at the shop owner and softly replied, "Well, I don't run so well myself, and the little puppy will need someone who understands." It's the little puppy. It's a story that there's always something else going on behind the scenes that we don't see. And it's always connected to a heart issue. The things we tend to pray for come out of head issues. When God deals with the heart and the heart issues. So our consideration this morning is, can we expand our points of prayer to include more of the heart issues? Now, as we move forward here, I need to leave the fluffy puppies. All right, with the third side, we have mine, yours, then we have God's. We understand that the political arena that we're in today, we have Democrat, Republican, we have right, we have the left. We have these two two basically strong sides. And the teaching that I brought a few weeks back gave us the consideration that there was a third side, and that was God's side. And within that understanding in Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." So just like the little puppy story, we understand that God actually thinks different than us. So if God thinks different than I do, could it be that my prayers, I want to discover how God would pray? Could it be that my prayers and my... You say, "Well, Alan, I'm praying for something that's right and something that's righteous." Well, that's fine. I'm hoping you're having more success than I. Now, as we move forward, when defending our side, if not careful, we will lose sight of the puppy. When we're defending our side, and I'm not saying that there's not right things in your side, my side. Of course there are, but this is not the issue. The issue here today is God's side. What is God thinking? I'm well aware of the right and the left, trust me. I'm up to here with information on the right and the left. But, so I'm trying to gain my information on this side that which is God's. Now, consider this quickly, and I'll move quickly. We can get so caught up in defending our side, we think our side is God's side, number one. God calls us to His side, which is to be set apart, which is a way of holiness. Now, one way we can know we're on God's side is it has a way of holiness. Leave the way of holiness, you leave God's side. It's just the way it is, and we'll get into that a little more. When we are on the third side, we reflect our Heavenly Father's heart and mission. So it's important that we understand God's heart and God's mission. It's very, very important. I heard a missionary, I was trying to think of his name, it escapes me. He said that he could find 100 people that would fight for the Bible, but only 4 or 5 that would read it. I fear we find ourselves there even today. As we are loyal to Jesus, we will know what to say and do. Now, this is the great frontier that I feel like is before us in this church and many churches, even this, especially this coming year. I am not happy at all with the quality in my life of hearing the Holy Spirit. I am just not happy with it. I know I can hear His Spirit from time to time, and I promise you this, every time I think I am, I'm not. you can take that one to the bank. But the times in which we're living is going to require that I can hear better from the Lord. Amen. Now, whether I want to step up to the task or not, that's my choice. It doesn't change the sobering fact as God's people that we need to up the volume and up the signal of God's Holy Spirit speaking to each and every one of us in our lives. We are in a time that we have all got to hear from God for ourselves. That's good, Al. For ourselves. So it just pushes and presses us into this state of where and how I heard the Holy Spirit up to now, I'm afraid is, I just think there's more to go where we've got to go. But I know that it's going to take a pressing, because I know how you move with God. You got to leave before you can go. Without a leaving, there's no going. And if I am staunch in where I am, guess what? Can't leave. So I have to realize I'm in deficit, and I have to be able to hear the Holy Spirit's call. There's more. There is more. There is more. I'm going to say it another way. There's more. There is so much more. Now let's look at it here. As we're loyal to Jesus, He renews our minds to be set apart so we can hear His voice. So many Christians suffer from confusion because they are torn between the two sides. Now, I can't be any more emphatic on that statement. There's a lot of confusions because people, well, am I right? Am I left? Am I? Let me set you free. You don't have to make that decision. That is a decision you do not have to make. Now, I just offended somebody that requires it. But I promise you, be careful before you judge me, because I am standing here before you clean. I have sought God. I've kept my heart and my mind clean to bring you the truth. So be careful before you judge me. You don't have to choose one or two, but you can choose the third side. You can't choose one and two and choose three. Now, this is very important, because I believe our prayers are to change more on the earth than what we're seeing. If I don't run out of time, we'll get there. Now, where each side agrees with the third side, we can agree. If you're right, you're left, you're one, you're two, whatever you are. If you agree with the third side, I can be in agreement. When they don't, we can't compromise. I just can't compromise. Now, I haven't chosen one or two. I've chosen three. Listen, the world's got to get up to speed with God. God's not going to get up to speed with the world. Come on, somebody. So quit trying to pull Him down to that comparison. One and two's got to get up to speed with three. Now, who is on the Lord's side? You know the story. Moses went up and got the Ten Commandments, and he came back down. He heard this sound. He didn't know if it was at war or if they were fussing and fighting. And he come on down the mountain, found out they was just all drunk, worshiping a golden calf. This is the story. This is the backdrop of Exodus 32. Now, Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gather themselves together unto him." So Moses walks down in this hodgepodge of a mess of them worshiping a golden calf. And he hadn't been gone. He just got 10 laws. He wasn't gone that long. And by the time he came back, they had a golden calf. Worshiping this golden calf. Now, it made Moses, he got right ticked off. You can read the book if you want to see how Moses responded to it. It's pretty rough. But Moses said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Here's the point. They had to make a choice. Moses gave them a choice. It's a choice. The question is, who's on the third side? That's the question. Who's on the third side? Now, here's something we got to consider. The golden calf, of course, we know is idolatry. Just as Moses confronted the idolatry of the golden calf, it needs to be done in every age. We're at the same, we're totally at the same place. You got God, you got His Ten Commandments. And God in His Spirit comes and we call for His revival. The question is, where is our golden calf? Now, my deal is not so much the golden calf as it is, whose side are you on when the call is made? Where do you choose to go? It's a decision that's to be made. Here's the goal, that our prayers equals more we see changing on the earth. We've got to understand that God's changing might not be my changing. Do I think there's been a prayer in vain? Of course not. Of course not. Do I think that we can be like, what's the guy, Steve, that prayed in World War II and they'd see the papers change? Reese Howes. Yeah, that's your buddy. Reese Howe. In other words, they would pray, and what they prayed for, they'd see was changed, and you'd read it in the paper in 2 days. Now, come on, y'all. That's not happening in my life. And I don't know a whole lot, but I know I don't have it. But I know it's there. I know it's real. And I don't want to be a Christian that goes around praying all the time to see nothing happen. My call to you this morning is not out of my experience, it's out of the voice of God. What I declare to you is the heart of God. He's calling us that we will be a church that will pray. And we can read in 2 days in the paper that it's changed because we carry something. Now watch it. Moses bestowed a special blessing upon the tribe of Levi because its sons were faithful in the trying time. Now there's a reward to choosing the third side. There's a reward to it. Now let me move on, lest I not get anywhere here. Now the third side is named and called in your Bible the kingdom of God. It's called what? The kingdom of God. That's the third side. It's called the kingdom of God. And if there's something to be discovered this year, more to be discovered, is our level of understanding of what it means to be a citizen in this kingdom of God. And it's in the understanding, it's in the, now listen to me, living out of being in this kingdom that we see things of this kingdom come to this earth. I'll be so bold to say this. I'm tired of waiting on revival. You say, well, Alan, that sounds arrogant. I don't mean it to. I just know something needs to change in my connection between my prayer and seeing things change in 2 or 3 days. That's what I know. And I've confessed it to God for over a week. I've confessed, I've repented. And confessed and repented because I know a truth. I don't have that power that He's speaking about here that's available to us. If we're just marking time here without changing the earth, God have mercy on us all. Now, here I want you to see the third side is the kingdom of God. Jesus prayed it like this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, O our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say that'd take 15, 20 years. It's not what it says. Didn't say 3 days. But since it didn't say, I'm going to pick 3 days. I'm wanting to see things change in 3 days. Thy kingdom do what? Come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now we can look all around us and what's happened politically, the COVID riots, racial riots. We can look all around us and evil is having a heyday. I don't care what you say, it's having a heyday. And between me and you, I don't like it a bit. And I can say, well, God will use it to purify us and do all those things. The conviction I'm getting is, Alan, your prayers aren't changing the earth. The kingdom's not coming to change it. What good does it do to be prophetic and see something and you can't pray and change it? I'm going to tell you, this evil's coming. Well, give me a red flag. Right? Are you interested with me? I'm not condemning us. I just want to spark your interest. So Jesus is speaking about this kingdom coming. I think that's a real deal. I don't think he's speaking there of his physical second coming. He's saying that the kingdom, I mean, John the Baptist, he said, do what? Repent, for the kingdom's what? It's at hand. So there's something about the kingdom of God that I think is yet for us to discover or at least live and walk in. What is the kingdom of God? It is the revelation of Christ on the earth. The revelation of Christ on the earth. Today, and I would be considered in the camp of being a nationalist. That's someone who is more of a, I would be considered, let me say, more of a patriot, perhaps. I hope that I would be considered a patriot. And the reason is I would die for my country. And that means there's many who's died for their country. But I dare say there's more that would die for their country than they would die for the kingdom of God. I'm a citizen of the kingdom more than I'm a citizen of America. I love this country because others have loved this country, given their lives for it, and the biblical principles in which it stands upon. But do I have to leave the third side to do that? Now watch it as we move here. It's the revelation of Christ on the earth. And all that we've seen, we can say, well, did you see what they did? Or did you see what they did? Or did you see what they did? When we're sitting here on the third side and we're sitting back here, maybe we won't hit the news, but you can say, did you see what we changed? Did you see what they were about to do? Now, this is a reality that us as a church should be experiencing. And I'm not saying we're not somewhat, okay? I understand that. God honors our prayers and all that we're doing. I am not here trying to make anybody feel bad what we've done up to this point. I am here to stretch us from this point on. Please hear me. So it's the revelation of Christ. When we live in the third side, we have the authority and power of Christ. I ain't there yet. I'm just not. Am I headed that way with everything within me? I might be like a bumper car and hit a wall and bounce off and hit another wall. But I'm going forward into the sore head, I guess. Because I believe it to be true. As we do it Jesus' way, we will accomplish His mission. So I have to say, Alan, you're not really doing some things Jesus' way. You're just not quite accomplishing His mission. So yeah, you're just off track here a little bit. And I said, okay, Lord. I thought as smart as I was on target. Now, we go on to see this. The nature of the kingdom of God, now watch it, is to break into and invade earth's domain. Now, I'm going to show you a little history lesson here in a moment on why this is true. The nature of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God, I hope the Holy Ghost is within you and you're grazing this big question, God, show me more about your kingdom at which I am a citizen of. I hope there's something that will stir within us that will say, oh, God, show us your kingdom. And what role do I play in this point of your kingdom? Jesus' coming to the earth began the New Testament mystery of the kingdom of God that now operates in reality and power in this present age. Do you ever have this feeling when you go to heaven that you're going to be sitting way back at the back of the big auditorium, looking at the back of people's heads you never knew what their name was? I got this funny feeling 90% of them is going to have white hair and a bun right there. I don't know why I visualize that, but I just do. Used to be, and I'd go preach at a lot of churches. I maybe told you this, I don't know. When I'd go in, I'd sit there, you might have 20 people, 30, you might have 1,300. I'd always look at the back here for the white hair and the bun right there. And it'd always be two or three of them sitting together every time. I'd go back to them and I'd sit down. I'd say, all right, now listen, we got a job to do. I can't tell you the countless times the response would be something like this. Yeah, we knew you were coming. Like I wasn't telling them nothing new. And they would pray. I got this feeling that what I'm preaching today, there's been many experiences, but we'll never know them on this side of glory. We'll never know them. But it's what holds this earth in a balance even today. So, here we go. The most powerful and personal nature of the kingdom of God is its breaking into the life of an individual. Okay, kingdom of God is going to break into this earth. Now, the biggest thing is when it breaks into the life of the individual, which is every one of us here. Now, I don't know if you've noticed it. When you hit up in there at the New Testament, God tends to start dealing with individuals instead of nations. Didn't say he doesn't deal with nations. But the nation he dealt with, which was Israel, he set aside. New Testament, God started barreling in on individuals. Not saying God doesn't deal with nations. I'm just saying the main thing right now is individuals. Will God deal with us as a nation? I'm praying he's not done with us as individuals yet. Anybody hear me? I know what we're saying is going to happen to us and this is going to happen to us and all. The only thing I can tell you, I'm going to show you here how it works. We're living in a time that God's dealing more with individuals, which means as citizens of the kingdom of God, we can change what our outcome's going to be. Now, that's just the truth. Half of the Christians that I know of now have this attitude, well, we get what we deserve. I'm like, you're living in it too. Have you got a brain? Everybody's going to get what they do. You better hope to God we don't get what we deserve. But what I want you to consider is God's dealing. The big issue today is individuals. So I've got to get you to shift a little bit of God looking at us, United Nations, or United States as a nation and all the nations. Just for a minute, I want you to understand something. Jesus came to save the world. And he does it one at a time. So God's dealing on an individual basis now to change the earth. He picked out 12 scrawny old fellas that didn't have two nickels to rub together and shot them out there. Now here we are. God's, the power of this kingdom is in the citizens of the kingdom. I refuse to come under the curses that people say our nation's fixing to fall under. Amen. I refuse that. Amen. Totally refuse it. Not biblical. Do we deserve it? Well, of course we do. What, ain't no doubt about that. Of course we do. But because I'm a citizen of the kingdom and I'm on the third side, I know what I'm praying for. Do you?
Come on.
Hadn't changed in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. For I know what I'm praying for. My faith's not in man. Listen, that'll turn you upside down 100 times. It's just like a barrel of monkeys. You'll roll down the hill. When you get out of that barrel, you won't know which way's up. But if you're on the third side, you're not shaken.
That's right. Come on.
Did you know I've got as much authority today in the kingdom of God as I had 3 weeks ago? Hadn't changed a bit. There's nobody going to take it from me either. I'm going to tell you what for here in a minute.
Come on.
Why? Because I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm going to cry if I don't quit preaching. All right. This is the beginning of experiencing the kingdom, which is redemption. So here he's dealing on this individual level here. We've come in through redemption. God made humans in His image, designed for fellowship and for enjoying His love. God created individuals. God dealt with individuals up until Abraham. Then He decided for some reason to start dealing with a nation called Israel. Then after that, we get into the New Testament. God sets Israel aside and He starts dealing with individuals again, just like He did pre-Abraham. Which means in the beginning, God created us in His image and designed for fellowship and enjoy His love. God is back into the mood of He created us in His image one at a time. He's still dealing with this nation as individuals, not as a nation itself. And I will not give any apologies for that statement. If God was dealing with us as a nation, He'd have wiped us off the planet years ago. He's dealing with us still as individuals, and it's still individuals that will save us. Because we know who we are in this kingdom, we take our place in this kingdom, we're not changed nor persuaded by the right or the left, but we know in whom we serveth and who is our King.
Come on.
We know it. It doesn't change. Now as we move here, kingdom means divine order. Divine order is God made us in His image. Oh, mercy, I've got to move. Listen, y'all might miss you chicken because I got to finish. I can't carry this all week. There's just no way. I can't do it. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God created all humans and desires their relationships to be restored with Him. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desires a new creation people of new creatures in Christ. Now here's where the rubber hits the road. How much of a new creation in Christ are you? You had your first day of redemption. Are you still hoping that you're just getting by with sin? You're not going to enjoy the power of this kingdom. That's right. I got to tell you the truth. You said, Alan, you sound like a works gospel. Well, call it what you want to. You can't sin and walk in the power of the gospel of Christ.
Absolutely.
You've got to get this sin mess under control. At the cross of Christ, quit making excuses. If you're still doing it, quit it. You're slowing us down. Am I saying I'm perfect? No. Am I saying I work with it all I got? You better believe it. I do. Now, watch it. To understand kingdom, we must understand dominion. Now, I'm going to get into this part of who we are. When we pray, because we have dominion, we're going to change some things. I hate to throw this in there, but I will. No, the Lord said no. Okay. Dominion. Here's what it means. Ruling or controlling power. That's what dominion means. Ruling or controlling power. Ruling or controlling power. That's what dominion means. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion over the fish and sea. You know the scripture. God said, let us make man in what? Our image. And let them in our like after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now we've got to make a connection between our prayer life, who we are as citizens of the kingdom, and dominion. To pray without dominion minimizes the power of the prayer. Now I'm going to show you how it works if you're interested. We've got to understand who we are. The reason we don't understand who we are is because we have this thing called sin that in our own mind keeps disqualifying us. So therefore, we never move past the sin issue. Never getting into this stuff. Because we always feel so disqualified. Well, you're disqualified anyhow. It's because of the cross of Christ. And as you get more of a revelation of the cross of Christ, you'll quit sinning. Yeah. You don't have to sin all the time. But it's, my Lord, it's the, sin's the same thing over. It's boring. It's just boring. Now watch it. Keep in mind dominion here. Dominion, ruling or controlling power is what that is. I believe because we have been created in God's image, with dominion over this earth, that our prayers should have dominion over what we see happening. That's what happened with Reese Howells. That's what happened with him. And do I believe they're scattered all over the planet? I really do. I think they're hidden. I don't think you'll see them on the next Christian show. But here we see where the dominion's lost. Genesis 3, and the man said, the woman whom thou gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is that that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So you know the story. Here is where man started blaming somebody else for their actions. You see that? Now, when you blame somebody else for what's happening in your life, you're giving over dominion. I'm going to say it again because you really got to get that. When you blame somebody else for where you are in life, when you blame somebody else, we say, well, Alan, it's true. I don't care if it is true. It don't make a difference. It's true. Do I believe that that happened? And yeah, I believe it did. But they blamed them, which means if they hadn't have done it, I wouldn't have done it. Right? When you blame somebody, this is huge. This is big. If you don't learn anything else in your life, learn this. When you blame somebody else for where you are, you're giving over dominion. Now, keep that in mind. I'm going to move on. Now, here's dominion gone bad. If you investigate all of man's sinful pursuits, you will find dominion as the underlying motivation. It is to have power and control over every area of life. We go about seeking dominion in unhealthy, selfish ways and then reaping the consequences. In other words, everything you see out here in this world, the competition, everything you see, is this thing in mankind of dominion. Now, I want you to see this. You say, well, Alan, I thought we were supposed to get out here and work. We are. You've got just to understand what's operating in you. It's this dominion factor that's in us. But that's supposed to be used for the kingdom of God. Yeah, work and do well and do all that and provide for your living for yourself. But understand, dominion out of control is dominion gone bad. Can anybody hear what I'm... Can you see what I'm trying to say? So there's an inward thing with us to succeed and to do all these things. It's a good thing to do that. In moderation. So, I don't think I need to say any more there. You see what I'm saying? Now, dominion, which is ruling or controlling power, here's where it's found. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have what? Dominion. Now, does it say that or not? Yeah. Now, just because we're not experienced, it doesn't mean it's not true. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are under the law, but under grace. For sin is having dominion over you, it's because you're using your authority to gain the dominion of it. Did that make sense? Maybe not. What in the world did I say? You have to use your own God-given ability to sin. You take dominion of the sin, and it comes alive in your life. You're having to use your own God-given ability to do it. You've been fooled by the devil. He has deceived us. He's a liar and a thief. Don't blame the devil on your sin. I call it misdirected dominion. Misdirected dominion. We've called dominion over the wrong thing. God created us in His image and given us dominion over the earth. Well, duh, your brain's got to kick in somewhere. Are you with me? Now, 1 Corinthians 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is what?
Power.
It's the power of God. Where the power comes back in this thing is through the gospel. It's the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ made it possible for us to regain the power that was lost in Genesis chapter 3. That's what happened. So it's here. It's among us. You see, what happens is we have really messed up here. I'm not beating any drum. But for some reason, we think we can sin, apply grace, and then operate in the power of God. Now, I hate to tell you, listen, forget theology. I've tried it. It won't work. First-hand account. It won't work. It just won't work. That's where you and I say, I stand before you clean this morning. I'm clean this morning. I've done the hard way. I did it the hard way. I know when I stand here clean, when I don't we, Pastor? I'm clean. I'm squeaky. Now, don't check me after lunch, but right now she's squeaky. Now, when you establish dominion, you establish kingdom. Now, I make a little transition here. When you establish dominion, you're establishing kingdom. So when I establish kingdom and we're praying over something or I'm living or I'm in a place of work and I go in there and when I claim and establish the dominion for this is for the kingdom, when I establish the dominion, which means I'm going to own where I'm at. It's an attitude of the Spirit. I'm going to own where I am. I'm in the United States of America, and I own her. I own the sin of this country. I pray and I call it into repentance. God, reveal to us our sinful hearts, our pride, our arrogance. Where we fail, it's obvious, oh God, that the right and left's failed. Obvious. You can say, but Alan, some things are right. Well, go ahead, for some things are right. How's it working for us? Come on, you got to be truthful, somebody. It's only the third side that can change things. I have my own personal persuasions just like you do. But I know where my choice lies, and it's with God. If everybody lines up with God, well, you can line up with me. If you don't, you don't. You're out. To have dominion means to have sovereign rulership. The king carries a responsibility for ruling the kingdom. Dominion requires, now watch it, dominion requires a territory. You can't have dominion over something that you don't have no territory. Yeah. You got to have territory to have dominion. Now watch this, please catch it. For a king to be a king, you must have a territory to rule over. Pretty simple. I like to put it in simple words and simple terms. For a king to be a king, for Jesus to be your king, he has to have a territory to rule over. You can say, well, Jesus is my king. Well, not necessarily. If you haven't given him, whatever you haven't given him, the territory in your heart and life, he is not king.
That's right. Come on.
The king has to have territory to be a king.
Yeah.
And where he's got territory, then you give him the dominion over that territory. Guess what happens? He's king. Now, I'm moving us into the citizenship of what a citizen of the kingdom looks like that has power to change the news. You got to understand what I just told you. I don't think I can do it again. For a king to be a king, you must have territory to rule over. It's the reason I'm saying with sin and areas in our life, come on, church. We got to, I'm not expecting us to be spotless and without this. Of course not. But we still smell like a barn. We got a ways to go. Is anybody with me?
Yes.
If we're going to do all this stuff and get together and worship God and all this stuff, it needs to be the people right up and down the road said, don't we're going to go around that crowd. They know God and they'll change something. Or people know where to run to if they need it changed.
Amen.
And that's healing, that's salvation, that's things in your life. I'm not telling you about make-believe here. I'm telling you about a spiritual reality that is in the kingdom of God. God's nature is that of a king, not a dictator. There's a difference. You serve to choose the king. God's not a dictator. God created the invisible heavenly kingdom in which he sovereignly rules. He created this invisible world in which he rules. God never intended for man to have dominion over man. Now, can you hear me? Dominion over the earth. Our conflict is men trying to have dominion over man. I go as far as I ain't got time to develop it. Listen, I believe God wanted Czechoslovakia, Canada, United States, China, North Korea, just name your countries. That's the way we're supposed to look. We're supposed to learn how to operate in harmony. We're not supposed to take over each other. See, when you come into this church, there's one thing we got down pat as leaders. We don't rule over nobody. Between you and God.
Right.
Some people think we need to rule more. Well, this ain't the place to be. We're not doing it.
Right.
We know a truth. Man's not to rule over man. Man's to be in harmony with each other. Why? Because God's created everyone, male, female, everybody in His image. We're all to have dominion over to the earth together. Man was to rule in harmony over the earth. God also created the invisible earthly realm. His relationship to this earthly realm is different. God created the earthly realm, but God wanted to share His dominion. Y'all, it's 9 minutes after 12. Can you give me 5 minutes?
Come on.
Now watch this. God created the earthly realm, but God wanted to share His dominion. I don't know if he woke up one morning and thought it. I don't know. But for some reason, God wanted to share it. That's the reason He created us in His image. That's God's thinking. That's God's doing. He created us in His image for a reason, to share this dominion that He has over all of it. But on the earth, He's left it to us. That's the reason Jesus died. Now He's in you. He's trying to give us enough sense to have dominion. Somebody?
Yes.
We're inherently stupid. So God wants to share His dominion. God wanted to share His kingly nature. He wanted to share His rulership with another being that would be like Him. That's saying a lot, isn't it? God's wanting to share this with a being that He created in His image. He gave us dominion. Why? Because He wanted us to share it being like Him. So what's the third side? Being like Him. So I can tell you honestly, flat-footed, I got a lot to learn. He would do this by sharing His nature. He would make another in His image to share His kingship with and give that new being a territory to rule over, which is the earth. Now here's the point, prayer life, changing the news. We have been given this dominion, I hope you see it, by God, to be in relationship with Him in such a way that we change the earth. I'm not saying we hadn't changed it a little. We got to pick her up. I'm getting old here. We got to pick our pace up a little. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female. God's purpose was to create man to bear His image and have dominion over the earth, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory of God, which is Christ in you, is that you are to have dominion over this earth, and it's been made possible by the cross of Christ. He has saved you to bring you back into alignment with the God of this universe to rule and reign this earth with Him. I'm running behind schedule. I don't know about you. First, God's kingdom must have dominion over us. And I'm about finished. Then we will have the authority of the kingdom of God over the earth. There's our task. If you don't like all of that, go get you a puppy. Let's stand. I hope that whole lot of what I've said, I just had to get it off of me. I don't know how it landed, don't have any idea. It's a little bit long. I had to get done. I just couldn't help it. I appreciate you tolerating me to finish. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask and pray that You'll be with us. If anybody's learned anything, just raise your hand. Just give me some sort of signal. Lord Jesus, it's my prayer that You'll give us the revelation of Your kingdom and this authority that the church of Jesus Christ has. That, dear God, we can pray, We can pray as you would pray, you would have us to pray, that we might see things change on this earth. There's people dying going to hell that I don't think should be, God. There's things that's happening in this country that I don't think should be happening. Dear God, it's my prayer that you would empower this church and other churches, other believers. Empower us, oh God. We'll accept the call to see and to pray and to live in your kingdom. We accept the call. Forgive us of our sin. Give us this authority or this dominion to be over our sin and to cast it out of our lives. Empower us. And most of all, oh God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And dear God, it's my prayer that this would be a church that's so on fire, that's so on fire, that we would so burn. Dear God, I find myself again saying, dear God, I pray and expect based off of the power, the dominion of God in this house, that revival will hit this place and change the earth.
Yes.
And change the earth.
Yes.
I pray for an explosion that cannot be explained.
Yes.
I pray for that we'll not know each other a year from now.
Yes.
Because you've so changed the countenance of our face and of our lives. Give us this power to go in your name. Heal the sick, raise the dead, save the lost, mend the brokenhearted. Give us this unity of spirit, oh God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
And amen.